Jason El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch, and we get at it some very weird ways on this show. And tonight we are going to be exploring things with Robert and Bud, probably a little bit more than usual. We'll probably do a lot more of our news and information stuff tonight, because a lot of stuff that I want to kind of deal with. You know, sometimes we don't deal with stuff, you know?
What do you mean?
I mean, sometimes we don't look at the news and deal with it. Sometimes we just react to it, and maybe we ought to deal with it.
Yeah, you're talking about that one guy. You're talking about that guy who's missing, that guy lost his brain.
He didn't lose his brain. I was talking about Jared Lee Loeffner to these guys before the show. That guy is a paranoid schizophrenic, and he's been on medicine. And if you know anything, and I don't know, I mean, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but if you know anything about paranoid schizophrenia from anything that you've read, like the most recent research, you may be interested to know. I didn't say the guy lost his brain. I said he lost 25% of his brain. I don't know, but you may be interested to know that schizophrenics, and this is a very physical disease, schizophrenia. It's a physical disease. It's a disease having to do with an imbalance in the neurochemistry of the brain, the neural chemistry of the brain, and the biochemistry of the body. And if you don't have the right balance of chemistry, the chemicals, then things go wrong. Diabetes is an example of that. One can have other problems, platelets and cholesterol and all of that stuff. Did I say that word right?
What?
Platelets.
I don't know.
Anyway, what am I asking you for?
Yeah, that's the last guy you want to ask. Better get doctor, maybe get on doctor, get on doctor. Yeah, get.
Never mind. You guys can't think of one doctor?
What about Dr. Turner?
Yeah, sure, Dr. Turner. He's an astronomer. That's what I'll get on for you. Whatever, man. You know what I'm talking about. So, Jared Lee Loeffner is a guy with this schizophrenia. Now, what happened was, apparently he wasn't on medication. Maybe he should have been taking his medication. Maybe he hadn't been prescribed his medication. I don't know. But after all of this time, putting this guy in jail in February, or January, rather, of 2011, and here we are a year and a half later, and his mind and the chemistry of his mind is balanced enough now after treatment with meds. And I don't know how much time they might have wasted, and I shouldn't say wasted. I don't know how much time it took for them to finally, you know, get the chemicals into him, the medicine into him, because I think there was an argument going on about whether or not he could be forced to take, you know what I mean? Something like really weird. I don't know. Are you going to drug my client? I mean, It's an area of law that I frankly wouldn't want to have to deal with, because if you're a defense attorney, right, and you've got a client who's imbalanced, and he can't enter a plea because he's imbalanced, and it's a surefire, you know, it's an easy chip shot field goal that the guy's going to be in a mental institution, in a psychiatric institution for the rest of his life. Do you really want this guy treated with meds, with pharmacology, to make his brain right so that he can plead guilty and go into a prison? And who's going to tell you, or who tells that guy he has to see, it's a really interesting thing. But whatever happened, and I believe that they made the right decision. I don't know how they could make any other decision. Medicine prevailed. He got his medicine, so the guy pled guilty. But I don't know what kind of guy they were talking to. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
I don't know whether this guy was like with 20, I don't know how much of his mind is left, because it sounded like he was very monotone. They said that this like the one sentence answers, you know, the very quick answers. The judge was satisfied that the guy could talk to his lawyers and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're talking to a guy, how much the guy got to say? Even if he's like, what's the difference between a guy like that, just a guy like, what's that guy, Richard? You know the guy, Richard, you know? Yeah, Richard's just boring.
Your friend Richard?
Yeah.
What's the difference between Jared Lee Loeffner and a boring guy like Richard?
Yeah.
Well, Richard, if you had to get him to say something more than one sentence, I mean, all that guy ever talks about is getting Cheetos and going off and watching television, right?
Yeah.
But he's not nuts. Hasn't he ever said more than that?
No, really.
It's the different thing, man. It isn't just because the guy's using, what about my friend Richard?
Yeah, all he ever says is one sentences.
Yeah, that's because he's bored to tears with you guys. If he had a more stimulating group of people to hang around, he'd probably say a lot. There's nothing wrong with him, man. We're not talking about people that are boring. We're talking about a guy that's schizophrenic. So anyway, this guy pled guilty, and that's the end of that romance, man. And so the victims have said that they feel okay. That's this guy, Jared Lee Loeffner. Now you got another, well, no, we don't. This Page guy in Milwaukee is a whole other, he's a psychopath, in my opinion, not psychotic. This is a guy who knows exactly what he's doing, but killing people is, especially killing anybody, killing innocent people, I think like most terrorists, that's a psychopath. That's different, you know?
Yeah, give me a demo, what the difference is.
The difference is a psychotic is sick. He doesn't know whether the sun's out. He doesn't know if he's living on the planet Earth. He doesn't know if his feet are 18 feet big and his head is only the size of an apple. He doesn't know anything. You know, in the mind of this guy Loeffner, Gabriel Gifford might have been some wicked entity in a video game he's playing. She might have been the representation of evil in some stupid game. All of those people might have been the demons that millions of American kids play against all the time in video games, except the difference is they know the difference. They know they're playing in a game. A guy like that, he doesn't because he's sick. The game didn't make him sick. He's sick, and he reacts to the game in a sick way. A psychopath like this guy, this Page piece of garbage, they know exactly where they are. They know exactly where, they know what reality is. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. They know what the society accepts. They know what society doesn't accept. They know their name. They know where they live. They're completely sane. There's nothing sick about them. The problem is they're abnormal. And the abnormality is this. They think they can go out and kill people because it's important to them and it's worth the risk and they're right and everybody else is wrong. And they will not only go and kill everybody, then they will make their escape and like that. Or in the case of this guy, he will go ahead and sacrifice himself because he's pretty sure, I guarantee you, this guy feels that, or he felt when he was alive, that after he got shot down, he'd be a big hero.
How do you know all that?
Because that's what these guys do. That's what a guy like this did. That's what this guy, he's a skinhead. He was a member of a band. It sounds like he had all of his faculties, such as they were.
Yeah, well, that guy's in a band, and he was in a skinhead group, but that don't make him crazy?
It doesn't make him crazy. It makes him odious. It makes him somebody I wouldn't want to hang around with. It makes him, but the minute he picked that gun up and decided, I know what's best, I will go and kill people for the white race, that's when his delusions of grandeur and all that stuff, his psychopathy, busted into like Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold and Columbine Country, and he just started imagining he was avenging something. Guys like that should only die. Those guys, in my opinion, that's why I believe in the death penalty, because every time you come up against somebody like that, yeah, that guy ought to get dropped. I couldn't care less. You can take every last of those scum and you can go in an assembly line, man, in an assembly line, feed their ass into the electric chair or the lethal injection, whatever the hell they got. Take them all off a death row, every last one of those psychopaths, and start killing them today because they're never going to be any good to anybody. They're a danger as long as they're alive. Even a danger inside a secured institution like a prison. They will never be cured, and they can con the very best psychiatrists you can think of. They con psychiatrists and psychologists all the time. They con them right out of their jock straps.
Even a female one.
Even the female ones, they con out of their... What do you mean, even the feet?
Well, what do they con them out of?
Never mind what he cons them out of. So that's our crime update, man. That's our nut update. We will be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, with a couple of individuals. One of them, a security consultant, Daryl Weber. The other will be Dr. Jim Sadler to talk about the... the relative psychology that we've been discussing, because God knows I'm not really the guy to talk about it. All right, we'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445 at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Daryl Weber is joining us. Daryl, among the many things that you and I have talked about in the past is music, because I know you're a big music fan, right?
I'm very much a big music fan, sir. And I like a lot of the same music you like. I'm very happy to say.
Yeah, you do. And we've traded CDs and discs over the years. And you're also a security consultant, a former police officer. And you've looked at these cases that I'm talking about, the Laufner case and this other guy, the Milwaukee shooter, this guy Page. And did I say... at the beginning here, when I was talking about psychotic and psychopath, did I pretty much hit it, the nail on the head?
Yeah, I think you did, Phil. You know, this guy, Wade Michael Page, the man who shot up this temple, they said he was a skinhead band leader or something. I don't know what that means. It makes him sound like he's, you know, I read that. I thought it made him sound like he's some kind of Benny Goodman or something, you know.
I don't think it was that kind of a band, you know.
No, I don't think it is either, but that's when I read that band leader, you know. And, here's a guy that walked into this temple. I can't, for the life of me, fathom a man like that, you know. And good riddance to that trash, as far as I'm concerned. I'm very, you know, pleased with the police officers have put him away. He also killed a police officer, which I think is... you know, one of the worst defenses against society. Now, you move on to this Laufner, who was in the courtroom today and was, you know, giving his, I don't know if it was today or yesterday. When was that?
Well, it was today if you're on the West Coast. It's yesterday if you're where you are, I guess. You're in Houston?
Yeah.
All right, so it was yesterday.
All right, well, I guess it doesn't much matter, but he was in the courtroom. And he seemed as if he had his faculties about him. He was able to answer the judge, and he was able to respond to his attorney, you know. And when you see someone like that, and you see that they are taking their medication and they're behaving in a way that is a civilized way, it's very difficult to imagine putting that man in jail for the rest of his life. Now, I know what he did was wrong. I know what he did was wrong. There's no question about that. But if he takes his medicine, what good is it going to be put him in prison, you know?
And, well, he killed people. I mean, he killed multiple amounts of people, 6-7 people, you know?
I understand that. But, again, he did that with his mind not intact, you see. And his mind was not intact. His mind was not working right. If he had had his medicine and he'd been taking his medicine, then he would not have committed the crime. But instead, here's a man that was if he had been taking the medicine, if he was a man that would not taken any medicine, and he went ahead and committed these crimes, you see? So if it's just a matter of a man taking his medicine, and it's a matter of a man not taking his medicine, how can you say that that man's a danger to society?
Because he's already killed.
I understand, but he killed when he wasn't taking medicine.
He killed when he wasn't taking medicine, right. But how do we know he won't kill if he is taking his medicine?
Well, because we know that the man is aware of the fact that what he did was wrong, and we know why he killed. I just don't, personally, I don't see it. I mean, I can't give you any answer on that. I just don't.
Well, you don't see it, but give me a reason why you don't see it.
It just doesn't seem right. But this other guy in Milwaukee, just like you say, he's a psychotic, you know, or a psychopath or something. He is a guy that is never going to change. But this other guy, he changed. You know, you can give him a trade. You can teach him a craft or something. You can give him a job driving a truck, or he could run a grocery store or something. And
you're never going to see a guy like that on the outside, though. Are you recommending that? Are you saying that... You know, if you give this guy enough medicine?
Yeah, no, I think if we look at it clear-eyed, and we look at a man like that, once you give him this medicine, he's all right. Then you ask yourself, well, what's the point of me putting that man in prison? Why don't I have that man out doing something that is constructive for society?
I don't think you're going to get people to accept that.
Well, it's not a matter of people accepting it. I'm just asking you what's right and wrong, you know.
I don't know that I would ever be really comfortable that the guy is not 100% safe to let out in the system. First of all, I think that it would be very difficult for us to let a guy like that out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you sound like...
I'm giving you what we call give you enough rope. You know, I'm not trying to... I'm not saying give you enough rope, hang yourself. But what I just said to you makes perfect sense. My logic is so ironclad that you can't really argue against it. You know,
your logic is ironclad how?
I just told you because I said that if you give the man medicine...
You're saying if you give him his medicine, Jared Lee Loeffner...
Right, if you give him his medicine, then he's not going to kill. See, Phil, and your silence, the fact you have a hard time with that, tells me that you recognize that what I'm saying, the logic is ironclad. See?
Are you recommending that that guy then be set free?
I am asking a question. That's all I'm doing. I'm just saying, why would you put this man in prison when all he had to do is get these pills? You know, I don't know what kind of pill it is, but you give him his pill, and he's all right.
And well, when you say he's all right, we don't know what that means.
Well, we know that he's not psychotic, see. Now, I know it's very difficult for me to say this, and it's tough for people to understand this, but what good is going to be put that man in prison when you give him his pills and you give him his medicine and he can be doing a regular job? He could be out doing work that is constructive. He could be doing work that's going to help a society as opposed to sitting in prison. The only thing to do in prison is sit on his hands for, 20 hours a day or however long they're sitting inside the cell. And then he goes out and does his exercise in the yard. That's no way of, certainly not no life, and that's no way he's going to pay back society that way. The best way to pay back society is, to have him out and doing something constructive. That's my feeling,
Well, I don't know that they've got any kind of pharmacology or any kind of drugs or any kind of treatment, medicine is what we're talking about, that we can say, okay, if we give this guy this pill, he's going to be fine, and we can let him back out into the world.
Well, they gave him enough medicine so he can sit down and look at the judge and say, yes, Your Honor, I plead guilty, I plead not guilty, I know what I did was wrong, I'm guilty, I'm killing, and that's a wrong thing, and I did it, and I, so he's got it together enough to do that. He didn't have it together enough to do anything before that.
Well, how do we know he isn't, like I was saying before the show started, during our pre-show, I said, how do we know this guy isn't like almost, forgive the use of the term, but I don't really know... A vegetative state, you know what I mean?
You're wondering if the man is a catatonic?
No, not catatonic, because I know catatonic is you just don't move, you're just staring off into space, right?
Yeah, that's right, a catatonic.
Well, I'm asking more about someone who is barely functional. I mean, they know it's right, they know it's wrong, they know where they are, but they're very slow and they're really drugged up, you know what I mean?
I don't know, I think we'd have to take a look and see where this man is, But I think if this man was in that kind of a shape where you could have him work, what would you do? You have him working at behind the counter at a fast food place? I don't know.
But I don't know. Who's going to hire the guy? I mean, who's going to say, yeah, I'll take a chance on hiring Jared Lee Loeffner as a guy behind the counter at McDonald's? Nobody is going to go near that,
Well, that's the prejudice of the individual. I'm just telling you what is the best thing for all concerned. And what is the most just thing? You give him enough medicine where he is straight, and he can go and do. I don't even have to be a McDonald's. It could be any kind of a job where gardening or something like that.
Gardening? I mean, I don't know. Nobody would. If anybody found out who he was, there would be nobody that would want to be near him.
Well, then that's when the law comes in, and you tell people, well, look, you're going to have to hire the man because he is already.
We're living in a society, though, Daryl, where, people don't want to live on the same street with predators. They don't want to have predators being hired and working near schools. They don't want to have predators. You know what I'm saying? Here's a guy, you're saying, convicted of murder, but they let him out because now he's taking his medicine and he's okay. I don't think you're going to find people that are going to be happy to know that guy's around.
Well, like I said, that's the law. The law is going to have to change to protect people like that and say, this man has, he's paid his dues. He didn't pay his dues, but we got him on the right medicine now. And this man can live comfortably and he can live securely and be a very good neighbor.
Jared Lee Loeffner we're talking about.
Yeah, look, I'm just giving you the best case scenario based upon, as you said, the pharmacology and the medicine available.
So we give this guy enough medicine, he's living next door to people. I don't know that it's ever going to happen, but we'll kick it around some more. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. If they gave Jared Lee Loeffner, if all he needs is medicine and the right kind of medicine, Is it better that he's in prison, or is it better that he's maybe lives out in the world on the right meds, being a productive citizen? I don't personally see it after killing the people, the number of people he's killed. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Not really.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Daryl Weber, a security consultant and also a fellow music aficionado. We're talking about Gerald Lee Loeffner. We're not talking about necessarily, although we have referenced this man Page, the guy who weighed Michael Page, the guy that went into the Sikh temple and murdered people there over the weekend. That guy is a psychopath. And so you agree with me on that, huh?
I think you analyze it very well. For a non-professional, you analyze it well. Yeah, he is a psychopath, and like I said, it's good. He was, to be perfectly honest with you, it's probably good they shot and killed him on the scene, because all someone like that is going to do is get into the courtroom, use that courtroom as a platform for his lunatic ideas. He's going to command the attention. I'm not saying the approbation. I'm not saying the. I'm not saying the praise. But I am saying he will command the attention of the people reading and consuming the news every day. And he's going to have a little bit of a platform for himself. And who knows? He may even have a sympathetic jury that might, you know, pass a hand down, if you will, some kind of sentence that is not quite. What he deserves, and
I mean, that's you know, we don't know that, though.
No, that's true, but I mean, there's a variable there. I think so. I think an individual like that, Wade Michael Page, is best that he just I think it was best that the police officer kill him, and especially after the lies that he took. So it's good that he's dead. Good riddance to bad rubbish, as I said, you know. But now we move on to Gerald Lee Loeffner.
Now I have Dr. Jim Sadler, who's going to come on with us in a moment. I have Dr. Jim Sadler. I don't know if you've met him, but he's going to come on in a moment with us here and talk about a little bit about the, I guess it's the pharmacology involved. Dr. Sadler?
Hi, Phil.
Dr. Sadler's with us. Daryl Weber is on the line.
Hello, Daryl.
Yes, doctor. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on the program, Phil.
My pleasure. But, Daryl, I'm sorry. You go ahead and finish your point.
The point I was trying to make was, and you can hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
I hear you.
All right. You know, the point that I was making is, well, I can't even hear myself.
Okay, maybe you roll a window up there, Dr. Sadler?
I can hear you very well, Phil.
If you could roll a... Dr. Sadler, you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Could you roll a window up or something?
The windows are all rolled up here in the car. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm using... It's not a Bluetooth. It's a probably a more of a cut rate.
I'll just go ahead and say what I'm going to say, Phil. Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I can hear you very well.
No, I know you can hear me. I know you can hear me very well, Doctor. I'm going to go ahead and say what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I can hear you very well, though.
Yeah, I know.
We know that, Doc. Just hold on.
All right.
You know, I tell you what, why don't you let Dr. Sadler say what he's going to say, because I've totally forgot what I was saying.
You were talking about, you had finished talking about Page, and now you're on to Loeffner.
I know, but I forget what I was saying, you know.
Well, I can fill in some of the blanks.
I want to say...
Let me first off say...
Well, hold on, Doc, because I don't think Daryl is finished.
Oh, okay.
I think I'd like to finish, because Dr. Sadler, it sounds like it sounds like you've got a lot to say, don't you?
I can hear you very well.
I know you can hear me.
Dr. Sadler, the more you say that, the less I believe you can hear us. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Okay, because you've said that a number of times. Daryl was asking you a question.
It sounds to me, Dr. Sadler, you've got a lot to say, is that right?
I have a great deal to say. I do, Daryl. First of all, if you look at the pharmacology...
Oh, hold on. Again, just hold on.
All right.
Go on, Daryl.
Yeah, see, he's chomping at the bit, right now.
Just go ahead.
You want me to start?
No, I don't want you to start. Daryl, you start.
I will start, you know, but I've got this doctor chomping at the bit to start jumping all over everything.
Don't worry about what you think he's going to do. Just go ahead and say what you want to say.
All right, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, but I think that
I can fill in some of the blanks.
I know that. Hold on, okay?
Hold the phone, Doc. Jared Lee Lofner is a man. If you gave him medicine, well, I tell you, maybe he should move in next door to Dr. Sadler, you know.
I can hear you very well.
I know you can hear us very well. That's about the fifth time you've said that.
I'm sorry, Phil. It was very difficult to hear there for a while. I thought that's what you were asking.
Oh, Mr. Henry's not asking that. We know you can hear well. I just said that Jared Lee Lofner ought to move in next door to you.
Okay, that's a very interesting question. Do you want me to begin?
Go ahead.
Why don't you begin? Because you would not let me get a word edgewise.
I'm sorry. I thought that I had. I'm very sorry. I thought that I had.
No, you had not. I was trying to say something. And over and over and...
All right, let's not get bogged down in that. We can discuss that at some future point. I think, Daryl, why don't you collect what thoughts you may have here. And, Dr. Sadler, you begin.
My thoughts are collected, Phil. I wanted to say that...
First of all, Phil...
Hold on. Wait. But everybody. Daryl, finish your thought.
Daryl Lee. I just called him Daryl Lee, and that's my name. Forget it.
Okay, yeah, no, I heard you got a little distracted there, Daryl, and I could understand that. All right, my turn?
Go ahead.
It's your turn.
All right, well, you got a little distracted.
I got a little bit distracted.
You called him Daryl Lee, which means you put yourself in the place of the shooter. And that's something that we should talk about maybe if we get some time right now.
We don't have to talk about anything. That's significant and nothing. It doesn't mean that I've got a violent tendency. I just simply misspoke.
All right. Well, whatever you say, but you did say that, Mr. Henry, did he not say? And correct me if I'm wrong. Did he not say that his name?
Yes, he said his name was Daryl Lee Weber, and he made a mistake.
I made a mistake, Doc. Okay. I made a mistake.
I understand that, but neuroscience, neuropsychiatry, psychopharmacology, and psychology, behavioral or otherwise, does not recognize necessarily the mistake, in quotes, as you may call it, because all action, all thought, has some subconscious or conscious impetus. Now then, what I was going to say...
I can't let you say that, because now it seems like...
Why don't we let that go, okay? It's his opinion.
No, but it seems like he's saying, yeah, sure, but you have a violent...
No, I am not. I'm simply saying that for a split second, you saw yourself as Jared Lee Lofner only in the context of me, and you wanted to hurt me.
I did not want to hurt you. All I wanted to say is for you to shut your mouth. That's all.
Okay. You know, guys...
All right.
Guys, for two professionals to be talking this way to each other...
I apologize.
All right. Dr. Sadler?
You know what? I apologize as well, Mr. I got your name here. Weber. My name is...
His name is Daryl Weber.
My name is Daryl Weber, Doctor. And, you know, I have kept my mouth...
I apologize, Mr. Weber. I misread your name, and you're right. I'm very, very sorry, okay? It's Donnie.
My name is... I haven't said one thing about this guy sounding like a hair lip, have I?
And... Okay, all right, put him on hold.
Then put who?
You got to put Mr. Weber on hold.
Now, Phil, that's not fair. That dirty fool trying to put me on... I told...
Okay, I'm sorry I have to do that, and it really makes me feel bad, but that line...
Yeah, well, I mean, all you're doing is talking about the doc.
Hold on for a minute. Dr. Sadler, you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here. I'm shocked. I'm a little bit stunned that this is... all I was trying to say... I'm very, very sorry. Is there anything I can do?
All right. Well, first of all, you butchered his name.
Butchered his name? Would you call that? I mean, is that accurate?
Yes, it's accurate. The man's name is Daryl Weber. I told you before we went on the air. You could have written it down.
I did write it down, Phil. I did.
All right. W-E-B-E-R is not pronounced Weber. It's Weber.
Well...
Yes. Weber.
Weeb Eubank was the head coach. Can I just say one thing, and then I'll get back to it?
No, I don't want to get bogged down in this ridiculous conversation.
I just want to say one thing. Weeb Eubank was the head coach of the New York Jets. How did he spell his first name?
W-E-E-B.
No, he didn't. No.
Yeah, he did. I got W-E-E-B.
No, it was W-E-B.
Webb? Webb Eubank?
No, Weeb Eubanks. All right, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong.
All right, I just don't like being wrong and having someone who is not a doctor sort of lord it over me. So could you, breathe your clam sauce on me?
Dr. Sadler.
Phil, I'm just asking, would you not breathe your clam sauce on me?
But Dr. Sadler, I've given you every opportunity to be on this program tonight to say what you want to say. I've even put Mr. Weber on hold. You've not had the courtesy of pronouncing his name properly. You have not had the courtesy of keeping quiet when he was talking.
You know what? You just let you stick.
Yes!
You want me to get him back?
I don't know. Is Mr. Weber on the line?
Yeah, I got him. Yeah, Daryl. Yeah, you there?
Hey, Daryl.
Yeah, Phil. I listened to that entire exchange. That man really needs to have get some common sense slapped into him. I can't believe that you can't man has to be in his lifetime. You got to be able to be corrected.
All right, okay. I got you on the line here. He hung up, and maybe he'll call back. That seems to be the tendency of most of the guests that hang up on me. They always want to. Is that him? I just see the line ringing in now, bud. Is that him?
Yeah, hello. Yeah, Dr. Sadler? Yeah, hold on, okay? Yeah. Yeah, it's him.
Dr. Sadler, if you hang up on me...
No. You hung up... Well, you... I think what you did to me was, in point of fact, hanging up on me.
No, you hung up on me. You hung up on me.
I hung up on you... Well, this guy, and I hear you got him back on the air.
Doctor, I just want to apologize. I'm very sorry for calling you what I called you, and I do apologize.
So you do apologize for the hair lip remark?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, then I apologize for not getting your name right. And I apologize one more time because I don't want to get it wrong. So could you tell me again what your name is?
I will tell you what my name is, and this is the last time I'm going to tell you what my name is.
That's fair enough.
All right, my name is Daryl.
Daryl? Did you say Daryl?
Daryl, D-A-R-Y-L.
Daryl.
All right, it's not Daryl. Daryl? All right,
D-A-R-Y-L.
Y-L, okay. And what's your last name is?
My last name is Weber. W-E-B-E-R.
All right, that's where it got, W-E, it's usually W-E-E or E-B-B, E-E-B-B, you know?
No, I don't know.
I've never heard the name Weber spelled W-E-E-B-B-E-R.
Yeah, well, then, okay, fine, but I have seen it that way.
All right, that's fine.
All right, so it's not Weber, W-E-E-B-B-E-R, it's, it's going to be hard for me to pronounce that.
Okay, here's what you're going to do, Dr. Sadler. You're not going to reference his name at all. Give us your opinion, and then I got to go to I got to go to a break now.
Well, let me summarize.
I got to go to a break now.
You see what I mean? As soon as
I got to go to a break now. Hold on.
That guy's got a pair on him.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Thank you.
Is our bitch.
Who's better?
The Phil Hendry Show.
Every night it's the same thing. These stupid guests.
Tommy. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's Tupac.
It was. Welcome to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, that was Tupac. All right. We're going to have to shut down our iTunes here for just a brief second as we talk here with Dr. Jim Sadler. And we also have on the line Daryl Weber. And I don't know who is still with us or not. We had Dr. Sadler hang up on us, and I don't like it. And I don't want you to hang up on us again, Dr. Sadler. That would be the, you understand, the last time we have you on the show tonight. And I want to let Mr. Weber have the final say. So go ahead, Daryl.
My statement is very simply this, that I think that Jared Lee Loeffner with the right medication, and I don't know what the medicines are, that the kind of medicines that you can prescribe for someone who is psychotic, in what dosages, and whether or not that makes the man someone who is an actual functional member of society, or whether that will simply drug a man to the point where he is not a danger, but certainly is not a functioning member of society. I don't know the answer to that. But I will say that if we had the kind of pharmacology that Dr. Sadler talking about, if we have the kind of pharmacology that can make a man a functioning member of society, then I think that that is what we ought to try.
All right, Dr. Sadler, go ahead.
Well, first of all, with all due respect to you, Mr. Weber, when you're saying we have these medicines, you know, and pills and everything, you sound like you're a layman, and that's what you are. I understand that. But it sounds kind of dumb when you go, well, you know, I don't know. It just kind of bothered me.
You know, what does that mean? That's not an intelligent comment.
Well, your commentary wasn't intelligent because you're going, if we have enough pills, do we have to... You see what I'm saying?
I understand that, but you're not making an intelligent argument now. You're just attacking the semantics I'm using. You're attacking my vocabulary.
But I'm the doctor, and what bothers me is when people who are not doctors will attempt to act like they're doctors.
I'm not acting like anything. I'm simply saying that I felt if there's a pharmacology. And I was deferring to you.
Right, he was deferring to you, Dr. Sadler, saying, well, let's see what the doctor has to say.
Right, well, then let me say it.
But it seems to me like you're getting nitpicky here. Don't attack him. Let's talk about the problem.
Yeah, that's what I would love, and that's why I came on this program tonight. I want to talk about the problem. I'm not interested in having a debate or to find fault with you, Dr. Sadler. I'm here to learn from you, but I'm also law enforcement. You know, I have a career in law enforcement.
I understand you have a career in law enforcement, and if I wanted to discuss how to shoot a man or beat a man, well, I'm just not a big...
You indicting law enforcement. I'm not here indicting being the psychiatrist.
Well, no, you're not going to indict being a psychiatrist, because our psychiatrist, we know about the pills that you're talking about. I mean, anybody can take a gun and shoot somebody.
You know, you haven't said a thing here, Dr. Sadler, except nitpick what the way this gentleman is talking. You haven't gotten his name right. You haven't said anything.
Excuse me?
You heard me. You haven't said a thing here tonight other than nitpick the way this man is talking, and you haven't pronounced his name right.
I've been on you. I've been waiting patiently while Mr. Weber fumbled around and bumbled about, and I've been waiting patiently.
You have not been waiting patiently, sir. You have...
Hold on. Hold on. You haven't been waiting patiently. You have been making a mistake with his name. You've been going, I'm here, you know. You've been yelling in the background.
Mr. Henry, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, you know you're a doctor, okay?
Yeah.
Well, are you going to respect that, or aren't you?
I'm waiting for you to say something that's worthy of respect. I'm waiting for you to say something here that's going to be worthy of respect. You want to hang up again? You can do that.
No, I'm not going to hang up again. I'm going to push through. I'm going to say what I was going to say. And both of you and Mr. Weber, you can go to where the devil relaxes. For all I care.
Yeah.
What's that?
Nothing. Say what you have to say.
I was going to say... See, now I feel self-conscious.
You know, I'm having a hard time believing you're actually a doctor. You know that?
Yeah, I was going to say that too, Miss Henry.
I really am having a hard time.
Oh, you are, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I happen to know all about neurotransmitters. I know about. I don't have to prove who I am to you.
Then say what it is you wanted to say about this case before we run out of time. We've spent the last half hour with you on the air, Dr. Sadler, saying nothing, then nitpicking this guy's name, getting his name wrong, finding out how to spell his name right, hanging up on me because I haven't given you all due respect.
Get it, Phil. That's exactly what's happened.
Yeah, okay, great. I don't need you to weigh in. What I was going to say is simply this. Jared Lee Loeffner, if he has the right medicines, can be released into society.
Exactly what I said for the first 15 minutes I was on the show.
I don't care. You are saying it. You're nobody. I'm saying it. I'm a doctor. I don't care.
But I said it anyway. I said it first.
Well, I'm not going to go forward until Mr. Hendry, I want to be acknowledged.
You're a doctor, okay? Do you feel better?
Yeah, that's not the point. He said it first. I would like you to say that I, as the doctor, get...
Get what?
You guys got to start the... Mr. Hendry, one of the reasons why I didn't want to come on your program is I hear a lot of grown men crying on your show.
Yeah, I understand.
And this guy here, Dr. Sadler, has been on your program for these two other times where he cried. I can't understand.
All right. Well, anyway, I thank you both for being on the show.
Oh, yes, sir.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you, Phil.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you to Daryl Weber and to Dr. Jim Sadler. We talked very briefly about the, you know, crime and punishment here in America, and just these events become the events of the past few days, the events of the past month, the events of the past couple of years. All of these things come colliding together, and you'd swear that you're living in the worst country in the world, and then you realize... Well, America is a place where all of these things happen, I think, because it is America, because people take whatever life they've been handed by the Almighty or whoever you think handed us life, and they just run with it. You know, we have the opportunity to run as far as we can with it, and sometimes people are running with their lives, and they should be, like, not even allowed out of the starting blocks, you know? It's like running with scissors, you know, that...
Yeah, what, that was a book or something.
That's the thing we were told when we were kids. Don't ever run with scissors. Don't ever run with a pair of scissors.
Why?
Well, because if you fall, you're going to stab yourself. If you fall, you could stab somebody else. As a matter of fact, running with scissors and the prohibition, the long-held prohibition by parents and admonition by parents telling their kids not to run with scissors, has its basis in actual fact in many homes. But there was a famous one. When I was a kid, when I was following the Dodgers... In the 70s, they had a pitcher, and I think it was Doug Rao. It might have been somebody else, but he walked with a very noticeable, very strange gait. It wasn't a limp so much as you could tell there was a muscle that was not reacting properly. And so when you saw Doug Rao, and he was a hell of a pitcher. He was a major league pitcher, and he was a World Series pitcher, and helped the Dodgers to the National League pennant that year. But when he walked, you could tell there was something wrong, almost as if there was something wrong with his knee joint. And it turned out that as a kid, and they told the story, he was running with a pair of scissors.
What, it stabbed him in the leg?
Yeah, he fell, and the scissors went right into his leg, and there you went. So, yeah, that whole running with scissors. And I tell you, it sunk in with me as a kid. I didn't even have to see anybody get stabbed with scissors. My parents would say, don't run with a pair of scissors. My imagination took over. I could see him probably... myself getting impaled on a pair of scissors. But the reason why I'm bringing that whole thing up is because that's how some people approach life. People just run right into life, man. And they may have a screw loose, or they may have something else wrong with them, and they're just dashing right out into the world, and then the first thing that they do, before anything else is they're winding up hurting people, and we got to deal with them. All right, Margaret Gray is with us for a series of these Olympic reports that she's been doing for us. Margaret at home in Santa Monica, and thus far, Margaret, what do you think?
Well, I think, Phil, thus far it's been an exciting Olympics. I think we've seen the American team do as well as can be expected. We've seen the Chinese obviously outperforming our American team. We've seen the British doing quite a job at present, pacing third, I think, in the Olympic medal count. But the story of these Olympics, no question, Phil, has been the gymnastics. And here again is this ongoing story of the Summer Games having to do with gymnastics. You know, I'm very distracted, and I'm very sorry, Phil, but the show that you were talking about, the Ghosts of El Segundo, is on, and I just want to tell Frank to make sure you take that.
Okay, now, I've had a lot of people, you know...
No, I've heard a lot of people being distracted, Phil, and that's not what I'm doing. I just want to let my husband know, make sure that you are VCR, what is it called, Phil? What is it called, Phil?
What? TiVo?
Frank, TiVo it, Frank. TiVo it, Frank. No.
Margaret, I've been listening to people being distracted here. I don't want to hear it again. Can we get your report?
I'm going to give you the report, Phil. I just wanted Frank to TiVo, all right?
Yes, the Ghosts of El Segundo show that you want to watch. Yes.
All right. Now, you see that? That's the black and white.
Okay, Margaret.
I'm sorry. So the Olympics, Phil, for my way of thinking, have been, I think they've been impressive. I think that we have had great performances all the way around. But I think the American story, again, is the gymnastics story. Do I appreciate that? No, I don't. Do I necessarily like that? No, I don't. Do I have a problem with Gabby Douglas? No, I do not. But I do have a problem with the continual harangue of gymnastics, the continual trumpeting of this particular sport above all others, and why we cannot have, for instance, the women equestrians, the women archers, the women on the firing range, the women, even the women running track, even the women's marathon, why we can't have that be an ongoing story in these Olympics, I just don't know.
Well, Margaret Gray on the line with us, by the way, talking about the Olympics. Is it not because the gymnastics is, and gymnastics is still going right now, you know?
Well, that's another complaint that I have. You would think that gymnastics would be over with by now, but they stretch it out over and over and over and over again, and my God, I think it is absolutely unkind and unfair to the other events.
Well, all right, so there you go. I mean, we're forced to cover the Olympics because here we are now into week two, and we're still dealing with the Olympics. I mean, not the Olympics. We're still dealing with the...
You're talking about gymnastics.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're still dealing with gymnastics. And
see, you're watching the Ghosts of El Segundo, too, aren't you?
No, I am not watching the Ghosts of El Segundo. No, I'm not. I misspoke.
Well, Neither am I. So...
All right, then we've already mentioned it now five times. So going back to your original point that the gymnastics have been overamped on the NBC coverage, on perhaps the coverage by all television networks all over the world, what's the solution?
Well, the solution is to simply make a decision. No, we're not going to fall all over ourselves making a bunch of people who have a very, very heavy lobby in the United States. The gymnastics lobby, the gymnastics parents, the gymnastics federation, all things gymnastics in the United States has enormous power, unbelievable power, and the money that is put into gymnastics. And the people that are the gymnastics, the shining lights, the Mary Lou Rettons, of course, we know them. We know names like that, the Peggy Flemings, the...
Peggy Fleming was a figure skater.
No, Peggy Fleming was a gymnast, I'm pretty sure.
All right, I thought she was a figure skater, but go ahead.
Yeah, but maybe Donna DeVerona, I know, is a swimmer. But the Peggy Flemings and people like this, the power that they have is ungodly, and I think it needs to be stopped because all of the Olympics, every 4 years, gymnastics. I'm looking at the floor exercises now. Gymnastics. How long will it go on? When will it end? And when will these other sports, and to be perfectly honest with you, sports that I think are a little bit more feminine, when are we going to...
I can't think of a sport that's more feminine than gymnastics.
Really? Then how come guys do it? Are you kidding?
Well, the way that the women perform gymnastics, they do it in a... It's a very feminine style.
What is... I don't understand.
Well, certainly the floor exercises are a lot... There is a difference, I think, in the presentation of women in gymnastics. I'm looking at this young lady right now doing a dance step.
And that's something else. They're dancing, they're leaping. No one understands it. I'm tired of the stranglehold that the gymnastics cabal and combine has on American athletics. That is my only problem. The rest of the gymnastics, the rest of the Olympics, I should say, I would have liked to have seen a lot more about the running. Would you turn that down, Frank, please, in the name of God?
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
What the hell got into you?
I can't hear a thing. He's got, Phil, he's got this Ghost of El Segundo on.
Enough with the Ghost of El Segundo, okay?
You're the one that was talking about it.
I understand I was talking about it. I know that. I don't need to talk about it right now. I was talking about it during the pre-show.
No, you weren't. You were talking about it. Well, I thought you were talking about it during the show.
No, I was not. I was talking about it maybe in a commercial break.
Well, I was looking at my BSP.
All right, you were watching the... All right, so, the gymnastics. That actually was a Russian girl that was there.
Well, you said she was an American.
No, I don't. Well, okay, if I did, I misspoke. She reminded me...
Well, there's one girl on the American team that is Russian by extraction. Extraction. I think she's Russian by descent or extraction. You know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, she's got Russian ancestry.
Yeah, I think, and her name is a little confusing. The name is Alexandra. So I think there's some... And the other thing about the gymnastics, it is an open invitation for these Russians and for these other ones to, you know, obviously humiliate our girls with some of their... They're very good. These Russians and these others, what they do in training and how they put their girls through these kinds of... through these kinds of exercises and these... I don't think any American girl can stand up to these Russians, and now we're looking at this blonde girl. I've got money that says she's a... I bet you anything she's a Pole.
And you can say she's Polish.
I didn't know it was acceptable. Is that all right to say that?
To say what?
Can you say Pole?
Polish, I think, is the term.
All right, fine. I was wondering if she was Polish, but I wanted to use the more colloquial... I wanted to say Paul or Paula.
No, we're not going to say that word at all. We're going to say Polish. That's what the young lady is.
I don't need to be spoken to like that.
Fine. And by the way, she's Romanian.
Well, all right. She's Romanian. But you get the point, right?
No, I don't. I get the in other words, Eastern European.
I'm saying the Slavs are much more limber, much more flexible, are much, much more, they throw their bodies, Phil, it's not without reason that the Russians lost millions in World War I. They throw themselves into danger. They throw themselves into danger.
And so that's why Slavic nations are good at the floor exercises and gymnastics, because they just, you know...
Yeah, they throw themselves into it. Whether they get a broken neck or not, it doesn't matter a damn.
I agree with that, Phil.
All right, we'll be back with Margaret Gray. Some pretty ridiculous comments when we come back. 877, the Slavic people throw themselves into gymnastics like they did in World War I in front of machine guns because they don't care what happens. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The challenge of the Russians.
All right, we're back here with Margaret Gray, 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking with Margaret about the... We're talking about the gymnastics, and we're talking here about the relative strength of the United States when it comes to the, especially the Russians and the Romanians, but you don't have a... You're not a real big fan of the Russians and the Romanians and the coverage of the gymnastics anyway.
I have not been a fan of the coverage of the gymnastics because I think it's overdone, and I thought that we were sure in this particular competition we were going to really get hammered. But Alexander Rushman has overcome the challenge by the Russian and by the Romanian, and I thought that it was... I think it's very unusual because these Eastern Europeans, Phil, are absolutely ruthless when it comes to this sport. It is the Slavic blood, and again, we go back to World War One, as you were mentioning. The Russian soldier throwing himself in front of a machine gun until they were piled as high as 10, 12 feet. Well, they approach gymnastics the same way. A broken neck, a broken back, who cares as long as they win a gold medal? America isn't like that, and our way of doing things has prevailed.
Well, I don't know that anything you just said is true.
I beg your pardon?
I don't know that anything you just said is true, that Russians feel so little or Eastern Europeans so feel so little for their athletes that they just throw them into these competitions and a broken neck or a broken back be damned. Here is Anthony. Go ahead, Anthony. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. I would just like yes, sir, to ask your guest what are her qualifications for being a sports commentator?
What are my qualifications? Well, I'm a journalist of some 30 years. I've worked internationally as well as nationally. I have covered war zones. I have covered the Hollywood scene. I've covered the domestic as well as international political scene. When you're covering the Olympics, it really isn't so much a sporting event as it is an international political cultural event. And that's why I think that in 1972, when the Munich Games took place, thank God we had seasoned reporters on hand to actually report what happened during that very tragic Olympics, because if all you had were sports reporters, we would have been, as the kids say, S-O-L. And you know what that stands for, right?
S-O-L, no.
You know, it stands for blank out of luck.
Okay, we got that.
Well, I would like to also ask the guest...
S-word, S-S-H...
We know what the word is.
I would like to also ask the guest, since you mentioned the 1972
I hope you.
Games.
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. The gentleman's asking another question. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yes.
Right.
I would like to mention, since she talked about the 1972 games, don't you feel that the Jewish athletes, or the Israeli athletes, should have been honored this time, 40-year anniversary.
Should have been honored by what? By being shot?
No. What Bob Costas, they should have acknowledged.
Oh, that's the... You know something? Why bring that up?
Why bring up the fact that 40 years ago, these men, these athletes, were murdered by terrorists... And that we would remember the memory of these men?
Aren't we trying to move past that? I tell you what, why don't we have a commemoration of the Atlanta bombing? Do you want to do that? I don't think so.
Maybe at a 20 or 30 or 40 year anniversary, maybe that would be appropriate.
Well, I don't know.
I agree with the gentleman.
Yeah, well, that's a big shock, Phil. You usually take a stand against me.
No, I agree with the gentleman from the standpoint that the spirit of the Olympics overcomes no matter what. It overcomes terrorism. It overcomes murder. It overcomes people who want to tear it down. It has survived and flourishes.
I think it is very distasteful. I agree that it was a tragic event. But are we all supposed to be I don't understand the hangdog thing. You want everybody to go into the Olympics with the hangdog look? My question is for the gentleman. The gentleman, is the gentleman there?
I'm on the line. I'm sorry. My question is,
do you want to go into every Olympic Games with the hangdog look and with the blues, giving everybody the blues?
The blues?
The hangdog look?
No, I don't. I think what that is just giving appropriate respect to a particular group of people that suffered 40 years ago.
Well, I can't comment because if I do, it'll all come out sounding anti-Semitic. And
why?
Well, because if I say no, then people will think that I'm some kind of a Nazi. If I say yes, then they'll think I'm a Zionist.
Nobody thinks that. I don't think this gentleman is either one. I think this gentleman is saying what he's saying. I don't think he's a Zionist. He's a man who believes in the spirit of the Olympics.
How do you know? You haven't talked to him.
Margaret, your opinion has been recorded. You think that it would give everybody the blues. Thank you, Anthony, very much.
Well, you're not going to make... No. You don't get to make me look like a horse's ass. And this man gets to be the And look at, he can't even dial a phone.
This gentleman brought up a very good point, and I'm glad that he called. Thank you very much, Anthony, for your call. 877-876-7445.
So I get to look like the horse's ass, and he goes away being a hero.
No, he brought up a good point. Your opinion has been recorded. You don't think we should be talking about the murder of those Israeli athletes because it would give everybody the blues and we'd have the big hangdog look.
I'm saying if I can complete a sentence, okay?
Okay.
Why go into the Olympics with the big boo-hoo look on your face, singing the blues, playing a harmonica on the last mile? And
what does that mean, playing a harmonica on the last mile?
I don't want the Olympics to be like we're walking down the Green Mile and there's a guy playing a harmonica and we're going off to ride the lightning. God!
What the hell are you talking about? You know...
God, that's very disrespectful.
What are you talking about? We're talking about the Olympics, and because we honor the athletes that died in 1972... You find that to be something that is just a bummer.
Absolutely a bummer when it comes to the joyful and carefree nature. Look at how carefree these young people are tonight on the Olympics, doing the floor dance or the floor, whatever they call it, I don't know. And I really don't give a damn, okay? The Romanians, they thought they were all that and a bag of pork rinds. Guess what? The U.S. stuck it right up there.
Let me just
take the phone.
Yeah, he's all in a heap, Phil.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm better than Custer. Look, he's nuts. I think what Margaret's saying is this, and please don't take wrong what he said. I think Margaret understands something, young man, that I'm Jewish, okay? And I think Margaret's protecting me and her.
And her?
Yeah, Jason J. Delmonico, our son.
Oh, okay.
That's all, because he's half Jewish, and I think that when you bring up the Munich, you know, it's a drag. So I think that's what happened to him, and he was trying to protect our son, her. What's so funny?
Nothing. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry. Frank has gender confusion for those of you who are new to the show, and...
Yeah, for those of you that are new to the show, this guy, Phil Hendry, is supposed to be good.
Phil Hendry.
I don't know. That's somebody else's opinion.
Thanks.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And because of what was said, too.
All right, that's fine.
But it just sounds to me, and I know you're back on the air.
We are back on the air. Margaret Gray on the line with us as we talk about the Olympics up to this point. Your feeling is that too much gymnastics coverage, not enough coverage of these other events, although the U.S. Tonight has done very well with Allie Raisman winning, I think, the floor exercise.
But my point, Phil, about you and Dan is a very... He sounds like a reasonable man, and when you were talking to him about his parents, it sounded to me like the reason why he's a reasonable man is he was raised by reasonable people. You, on the other hand, you're very angry, and you just said your father was a violent type.
Yeah, but what does that got to do with what we're talking about right now?
I think it's very telling, and I think it's something you should share.
Maybe I will at a different date and time and place, but not right now. If you don't mind.
No, I'm not trying to control your program. I thought it would be interesting.
That's fine, but we're not talking about that right now. 877-876-7445. All right, let's go to a phone call here on the line with Margaret Gray, and here is Shane. Shane, go ahead. You're on the air on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, actually, I was surprised with some of the statements that Margaret made. I've heard several people call on your show tonight, but not a lot of substance. And the fact that Margaret, who is supposed to be a writer or a journalist, would make a statement that Europeans are more flexible, that makes no sense whatsoever.
I said Eastern European. And the reason why I said that is because of the propensity the historical and, I would say, genetic propensity of Eastern Europeans and the Slavic people to throw themselves into... It's very, very common knowledge that the Russian, for instance, suffered much better in warfare than, let's say, his Western European counterpart. The Russian could be... You could literally shoot a Russian right through the face, and he would keep right on charging a machine gun nest. Now then...
What has that got to do with gymnastics?
May I finish?
Yeah, but what is it...
May I finish?
Go ahead.
So let's apply that to athletics. They have a much higher degree of being able to suffer through the long hours of training, the very harsh winters.
I find that offensive, because now you're making a stab at our American Americans that make sacrifices for years and years. You mean to tell me that Michael Phelps didn't make sacrifices for 20 years, spending 8 hours in the pool every day?
I don't think I said anything about Michael Phelps not doing what he did.
And you also said the Russians, and actually the Chinese are the ones that are leading us
Well, that's another story entirely. The Chinese are people who are used to centuries of very harsh conditions. And also you have to remember that, and I know this isn't popular,
Americans are used to harsh conditions as well, establishing this country.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm just saying that up to this point, and I just saw tonight, and maybe you didn't hear me, Shane, the young American lady did prevail in the floor exercise against all odds. I never would have thought it in a million years.
No, why wouldn't you think it in a million years? This gentleman made the point. Our athletes train. This young lady just won. So what's the...
I wouldn't have thought it.
Why?
Because the Russians. What do you mean, why?
What is it with the Russians? I don't...
Do you understand what you're dealing with a Russian? Someone that can walk in blizzard conditions to train, they can walk 20 miles before they even get to the gym. In bare feet. And still,
they're not walking in bare feet. They're not walking in bare feet. They're training. Americans could too. Americans can too when they settled the West.
Yeah, right.
Have you ever heard of the cart movement?
Where they
pushed hand carts for all the way to Montana? Through the wintertime?
Cart movement? What are you talking? I don't know any such thing. But I'm trying to say...
The gentleman's bringing up some history.
Well, maybe the Montana history. But I can tell... Look,
that's history of the United States.
Do you deny that one of the most fearsome images that can come to mind is a million of these Cossack you-know-whats coming at you with the bayonets out? Are you gentlemen not...
Margaret, I think you've got I think you have an early 20th century vision of the Russian peasant. You're coming up with some czar-era view.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about a modern country with modern training, and this gentleman's pointing out that every people, no matter who they are, if they've got a successful society, as we do, we've put in our dues.
It's been years since we put in our dues. Years! The Russians The Russians are 5 minutes out of Stalingrad. You remember that, don't you? The War of the Rats? They were eating human flesh not more than 60 years ago.
Oh, will you come on with this fairy tale stuff? I understand what happened. We're talking about teenage girls who are the product of the 90s. They're post-Cold War. They're post-Iron Curtain. These girls were brought up in a much freer society with American influence and so on and so forth. Are you telling me that these girls...
They are still the heirs. They are still the progeny of the czarist peasant and serf.
Oh, for God's sake.
Wow. I'm really amazed. What shocked me first was when the doctor cried, but... Now
that guy was something.
No, I can assure you that I'm not going to cry. I am simply trying to impress on you two gentlemen that there is a history going on over there in Cossack Russia, which is much deeper, much more violent, and much more of a test of the human condition than anything we've been through.
And you know, that kind of bull crap, okay, that's fine. You know, the Japanese and the Germans thought the same thing about us. They thought we were soft. They went to war. They found out something else.
Oh, here we go again with that.
Oh, excuse me for bringing up history, okay? They thought we were soft. They thought we lived the soft life. They found out something else. Shane, anything else?
Oh, okay. So you get the last word?
No, Shane does. Anything else, sir?
Well, I'd like to hear her last statement before I make my last comment. Margaret?
What do we got going on here now? Meet the press. You know.
Go ahead and say comment what I just said.
Go ahead and say, Phil. I thought you were a professional announcer.
Never mind how I stumble.
What did you say?
I said the Japanese and the Germans thought that we were soft. They thought we were a bourgeois people. They came into battle with their bonsai howl and their whole Heil Hitler, and they found out something different about Americans, that we were a hell of a lot tougher and a lot harder working than them.
I think relying on these World War II fairy tales...
Well, you were just bringing up Stalingrad and eating human flesh.
You know, why don't both of you gentlemen, why don't you go down and have yourself a nice card game with the devil.
She just
hung
up.
Yeah, that's an easy way out, Margaret.
Yeah. There you go. She hung up. But
yeah, she did.
I appreciate your call very much, Shane. Very good points and a very good call, sir. Thank you very much. 877-876-7445. Why don't you guys go play cards with the devil? That's the oldest line.
Well, it's about play cards, Jim Morrison.
Yeah. What do you mean, play cards with Jim Morrison?
If you're dead.
No. She was talking about playing cards. Is that her?
Yeah, hold on. Hello? Yeah, but he's all pissed off. Well, you want to talk to her?
Yeah, let me talk to her. Okay, Margaret, I'm going to tell you this. If you hang up on me, and this is a rule that we've made on this show.
I'm here. I'm waiting for Daddy to lay down the law. Go ahead, Daddy. I'm sorry.
Are you a woman or are you a child now?
Well, you want to treat me like a child, so here I am, Daddy. Go ahead. Pass out the punishment.
Margaret, I'm simply saying if you're an adult woman, you hang up like that, telling me to go to the devil, and then you call back 5 minutes later.
I called back 2 minutes later, and I simply called back as soon as you got rid of that what's-his-name. I wasn't about to sit there and listen to him, blah, 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 blah.
All right, 877...
Well, aren't you going to say anything?
No, I'm not going to make any comment. 877-876-7445. We'll go to another phone call here. We have Ashley on the line. Hi, Ashley. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around this whole situation.
It's...
I don't understand what everyone's having a hard time with.
Because you're making some bizarre comments. Go ahead, Ashley.
Yeah, you kind of are, Margaret, and I can agree in certain aspects as far as the Russians, but I think you're making a really big generalization about the Eastern European culture. I'm surprised that you even have a job that you actually get paid for people to listen to.
Let's just be clear now. Excuse me for saying this, Ashley. I don't mean anything, but you sound like you just woke up. Is that true?
No, I didn't. I'm actually wide awake. I can't believe.
All right, so that so right there, there right away. Wide awake, you sound like that. And
are you going to make a point by bashing the caller?
Well, that's what she's doing with me.
Because you've been making these statements.
No, I'm not bashing you, sweetheart. Listen, I'm trying to understand
sweetheart.
You.
So now it's sweetheart. So now you and I are. Almost, excuse me, for shame. It's almost like, are we lesbian? Because that's what...
No.
No,
I want to hear...
You're going too far. First of all, I'm trying to reason with you, and I'm trying to hear your comments, but...
Well, what are you saying? I haven't heard you...
...like, and very ignorant.
Like, I haven't heard you say anything yet.
You like to hear your own voice, and you don't like to hear what people have to say...
I'd like to hear what you have to say, but you haven't said anything. You said that I sound stupid.
No, I have said things, but you're not listening.
Say, all right, well, I'm going to let Ashley start all over again, and Margaret, I'd appreciate it if you would just be quiet.
I'm fine, but she's the one that started in with this lesbian talk.
Oh, my
okay.
God. Go ahead, Ashley.
First of all, USA is, I mean, I don't want to say anything that'll get the FCC involved, but we're kicking tail over there in London, and I don't understand why, what is our hard work that we're doing there is being demeaned by you. Like these, and you're making general comments about Eastern Europeans and how they've had to walk in the snow. Do you know them? Like, what information do you have to base?
Well, now wait a minute. You don't have to know someone to know world history. That's ridiculous.
No, honey. Yeah, you know, honey, but you do because you're making comments.
No, you do not. No. Do you know? And let me ask you a question. Do you know? Do you know any of the Magyar gypsies of the 14th century? No, you don't. But you read their history.
All I know is that we're in the London 2012 Olympics.
Oh,
and
God,
these girls that worked hard for years and years to make it there, and you're demeaning them.
All right, Ashley, can I ask you a question? Ashley, this is going to go a long way for me. Can I ask you a question? This will go a long way for me to, and I don't mean any offense, but are you?
You can ask me anything you want.
All right, let me ask you this question then. Are you a blog?
All right.
What?
Use a better word than that.
I whispered it. Are you a blonde?
Am I a blonde?
Well, don't whisper the word. She wants to know if you're Polish.
I'm actually African American with red hair, if that's what you want to know. So keep on going.
So that means that you have one black parent and one Magyar gypsy parent. Wow.
No.
That's wild.
That's
no,
nuts.
I don't. Actually, well, I'm when you said you got black. But, like I said...
Wait a second. What freckle-faced Cherokees were there?
You're trying not to come off as racist, but you really are racist.
There you go, right there. Exactly. Thank you very much, Ashley, because I think that's what's going on here.
Oh, you do. I happen to be a liberal. I supported and voted for Barack Obama.
No, honey, it doesn't have anything to do with you being liberal.
Let me say something.
They'll use that statement. You're nowhere near liberal. First of all,
I asked you very politely if you were a Polak, and you said no.
What does it matter if I am or not?
Because how do you know about
you talking to me about the damn gymnastics? Come on.
Because how do you know about how flexible slabs are?
You want to feel like you're more important? Like, what are you? What race are you?
Exactly. Margaret, what race are you?
What
race are you?
I'm a white woman. A white woman.
Are you Anglo-Saxon? Are you Irish, German?
I'll tell you, I am Norwegian, and that is Norwegian.
Norwegian. It's Norwegian.
I beg your pardon? I am Norwegian, meaning I am part Norwegian and part Canadian, if you'll let me finish.
There's no such thing as being part Norwegian and part Canadian.
Why not?
Because Canadians are New World like Americans, so we're all descendant either from European, from African, from some other continent, unless you're Native American. Are you Native American?
No, I'm not like our friend Ashley here, who is a freckle-faced Cherokee.
I am freckle-faced.
All right.
How did you know? Oh, my God. You know what?
Let me tell you something. I'd have to take a lot of LSD to come up with a freckle-faced Cherokee. I don't know where you came up with that one. You must have pulled that right out of your...
Okay.
Freckle-faced. Like, if I had a picture right now, you would see me red-haired, freckle-faced.
All right. And guess what?
You know so much about race.
You know Redskin.
Yeah, you are so ignorant. Like, you know...
Is he Redskin?
You're nowhere near...
My husband wants to know. Are you Redskin or not?
Let's knock it off with the Redskin thing, okay?
I am Redskin.
Why? You're Redskin. And there's no such thing as...
All right.
Something is really...
I got to take a break.
Wrong with you?
No. I pointed out that the slab... You know, all I said was something complimentary. I said the slabs were flexible, based upon their ability to rush a machine gun.
Bipolar medication. I have a good doctor for you. I can look him up.
You know, he who smelt it, dealt it. He who smelt it, dealt it.
Yeah, you're right.
And what does that mean?
Absolutely. And that alone right there shows your ignorance. What degrees do you have?
She smelled something bad, and she's the one that let it go.
What are you talking about?
This is not real. Is she a real person?
Yeah, are you real?
You know something? That's a wonderful technique to sort of turn it around on me. I asked you some questions that you wouldn't answer. You're blah, 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 blah. You're talking about being a Redskin. You're talking about being a Cherokee Indian.
I got a break. I got a break. My engineer. All right. Thank you very much. I got a break.
Why would you take control of this, Mr. Henry?
I have control of it. Thank you very much, Ashley. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
I have never in my life been dealt with...
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
There, you feel better.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. On the line with me, Margaret Gray, as we continue talking Olympics here in the last few minutes. We've seen the American female, if we can get the Margaret's on the line from her home. We saw a win in the floor exercise, I believe, a gold medal in the floor exercise. We saw a silver medal in the high jump, and Margaret, I think we are still trailing the Chinese.
That's the fact, Phil, and this is what nobody wants to talk about tonight. The Chinese, the Russians, the Asiatics, the Slavs, the Chinese are beating us by four medals, and most of those are by three medals, I forget, but they've got more gold medals than we do. That's the only medal that counts. And what really almost sickens me is the fact that our country continually settles for these bronze medals as if that's, you know, something to be proud of.
I think if you're the athlete winning the bronze medal, it's probably something to be proud of.
Well, I think we've got to disabuse our young athletes of the notion that third place is something to run around and show everyone. It sickens me. It really does. To encourage young athletes to run around the neighborhood with their little bronze medal and go, oh, look what I won, third place. It makes me want to throw up. I don't know what else to say about it. Now, the Chinese are leading us, and this is to be expected. They are a communist society. They are a totalitarian Asiatic society. When the Soviet Union was communistic, they, too, would regularly beat our brains in the Olympics. But you give me an honest contest between two free societies, Phil, and America comes out on top every time. Look at what we're doing to the British. The British are very proud of what they're doing in the Olympics. Well, they're proud of it so long as they keep, you know, they avoid what the Americans are doing. Because if I were British and I saw how the Americans were bending us over in a jail cell, excuse my language, you know.
Yeah, excuse your language. You've got some very rough and very, very colloquially, I don't know, very, very distasteful ways of putting things. We've got a break for the hour. I appreciate your comments, Margaret.
Well, I'm glad that you brought me back on, Phil, so I could make my point without being hassled and harassed.
Yeah, except you were the one calling everybody the names.
I didn't call anybody a name, you big...
Yeah, thank you for dumping that, bud. We'll be right back with our news and information hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Margaret Gray.
Whatever.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and it is our news and information hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And
but what are you talking to Dan about?
I just was saying that what we don't have to talk about what I was talking to Dan about.
Well, you said I'm talking about Novocaine.
Yeah, you talking about dentists or something?
No, I was not talking about dentists. No, I was talking about football.
Football?
Football, yeah. I was quoting Ali Sherman, the former New York Giant head coach, who said the following thing. He said, and I saw it on one of those NFL film shows. He said, gentlemen, the screen pass is like Novocaine. You have to wait for it to take effect.
What's that mean?
Do you guys really care?
Yeah.
It means if you've ever seen a screenplay, you know what a screenplay is?
Uh-uh. No.
Well, I'm not going to explain it, okay?
No, come on, please.
I'm not going to explain a screen pass, man. I got people sitting out there, okay?
Yeah, they want to hear.
They want to... A screen pass is when you send the running back out into the flat.
What's that?
Oh, come on, will you?
No, really, you don't have to say flat or anything.
A screen pass when you send the running back out, okay, into that little flat area, which is behind the line of scrimmage, and you throw the ball, and the guards and the tackles and the guards in the center have set up, and the tight end have set up to block for the running back. That's a screen pass. Only it takes a while for it to set up. That's why he said it's like Novocaine, because you got to wait for their fat asses to the ball snapped, and then their fat asses got to run out there, and then they got to, they've got to set up. And I'm sorry that I even brought this up.
Yeah, it is boring. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, then let me be the judge of that, all right? I don't need for you guys to sit there and listen to it and then tell me, oh, yeah, you know, it is boring. Anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, folks. 877-876-PHIL. Congratulations to the U.S. for kicking ass. Well, I mean, they are, but... Attorney for a New Jersey man arrested in a superhero outfit, a classic case of overkill. Now, you know what they've been saying ever since what happened in Colorado. These outfits are freaking people out. Now, let's not go overboard, folks. Let's not start going down the path that we've already been down in this society, which is to blame exterior things, external things for or things that are apart from the psychology of or the politics, perhaps, of an individual committing a criminal act and say, well, it's because he watched too much television. It's because he plays too many video games. It's because no.
Back to the audience wearing a suit.
Yeah, you're wearing a Batman suit.
It ain't because he wears a Batman suit. If you're nuts, if you're out of your mind, if your brain is coming apart, then yes, you may go and buy a Batman suit. But when you buy a Batman suit and I buy a Batman suit...
Two different Batman suits.
It's two different Batman... No, it isn't two different Batman suits, but it's...
They've got two different meanings.
Yeah, one Batman suit means one thing and another Batman... Why is it getting more confusing the more I talk about it?
No, what you're saying... No, I know what you're saying is... If you get a Batman costume and I get a Batman, or maybe not me, but a crazy guy got a Batman costume, the Batman costume on a crazy guy is a different costume.
Yeah, whatever. The crazy guy's going to go out and get a... Maybe it's the motivation. The point being, if I go... First of all, I'm never going to buy a Batman costume. So if I ever do buy a Batman costume, I'm nuts too.
There'd be two guys.
Then we'd have two crazy guys, yeah. Except I wouldn't be murderous so much as you just ought to lock me up. However... A Batman suit worn by a sane man is a different suit or costume or expression than a Batman suit worn by a crazy man. Same thing with a Joker costume or whatever the hell else. Now, the attorney for a New Jersey man dressed as a superhero when he was arrested last Wednesday thinks police overreacted. William Ware characterized the arrest of Matthew Argentar as a classic case of overkill. Police said Argentar, 23, was wearing a mask, a bulletproof vest, elbow and arm pads, a cape, and carrying handcuffs when he was arrested July 31st outside the Home Depot on Route 57 in Mansfield Township, New Jersey. I'm not aware of anything in the law that would protect any or prohibit anyone from dressing how they choose to dress, William Ware told CBSNewYork.com. He is representing Mr. Argentar, and he's right.
What's he got on a bulletproof vest for?
Yeah, that's to me, that's suspicious.
I don't know. There's some people that want to be provocative. And maybe it was because he was, I don't know, was he nuts? Let's find out more. I don't know.
That's bad.
I don't know, man. We don't want to start going off in 58 million different directions. To me, it's the same thing as, like, after 9-11 targeting Muslims, you know? Okay, now it's after the Aurora thing, and any guy wearing a bulletproof vest or a Batman costume, yeah, it's weird. There's no question about it. Some cats like to they get off on being superheroes. There's the guy that was... There's the guy that used to drive down the freeway and help people, and he was like a superhero, but he knew what he was doing. He knew he was doing it in character, he knew he was in a costume, and he knew that he was, you know, kind of spoofing it, but he liked the idea of helping people. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah, like gasoline and stuff.
Yeah, he'd carry spare gas, he had water, he had masking tape, he had any, not masking tape, but anything you'd wrap a busted hose, anything that would fix a car temporarily if someone was... Off to the side of the road. There was some dude that drove around in L.A. Years ago, folks. And he had like a car, I think it was painted up like a superhero car. And he was a normal guy. He wasn't crazy. He just dug it, you know.
Yeah, like he was play acting.
Yeah, and I don't even, maybe he was an actor for all I know. But so there's cats like that. There's people that are going to a costume party. There's people that want to be provocateurs. Like as soon as they heard what happened in Aurora, then they thought they'd go out dressed like a jackass, you know, dressed like that to try to scare people. Some people do that. Some people are daring the cops to arrest them. Some people, and I believe this, some people are out there harassing cops. You know, we talk about the police harassing people, and we've got, God knows, we've got ample evidence of cops down through the years abusing their authority. But in recent years, we've also seen a rise in individuals, that, and they like to put it on YouTube. What they do is they provoke a cop. They try to set up a situation where a cop is almost bound to make some bad move or aggressive move, at least. Not necessarily illegal, but certainly something that looks bad on a videotape. And they think they're doing a public service by posting this bullcrap that they obviously manipulated the officer into, and God knows, you know, that they pulled it completely out of context and this and that. So I don't doubt that there's people like that when this stuff happens. Maybe this guy got into a bulletproof vest and got on, you know, handcuffs and stuff and did that. Whether he was in a tuxedo, a scuba outfit, or however he might have been dressed, we may not necessarily, you know, believe that he was breaking the law. We may not necessarily take that road. His intentions were all good. His intentions were pure. I think the police seized on this opportunity, and I think it's a classic case of overkill. Ware disputed previous reporting suggesting Argentar was approaching people in the parking lot. Ware said instead people were walking up to him, and the last thing he wanted to do was cause any public harm. Mansfield Township Police declined to speak with CBS.com, blah, 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 blah. Ware acknowledged people are on edge after James Holmes allegedly opened fire in a crowded theater in Aurora, Colorado during the showing of Dark Knight Rises. The timing is unfortunate, said Mr. Ware. He's the attorney for this guy. Some people might disagree with the timing, but from his viewpoint, it was perfect timing because he thought he was trying to turn it on his head. That's the only indication I have. What's
that mean, turn it on his head?
Well, that's the only indication we have here of what the guy was thinking.
What's that mean?
What it means is, if I'm interpreting it right, is this ass was trying to make some sort of satirical or otherwise make some comment on the situation in Colorado. I can only repeat what I heard Ricky Gervais say, and I think it's the, he says, today, man, people don't care what they're saying as long as you got the camera turned on and it's going to get them on TV. They don't care if they make a complete ass out of themselves. They don't care if they look stupid. They don't care if they're known forever as Joey the Butthead Smith. They don't care. Seriously, you know, they to them, that's fantastic. You know, they don't care if they're known as Eddie the Child Molester Johnson. You know, so long as they've got some fame and they can capitalize on it. In other words, there's no, in Gervais's words, he said, there's no shame. He says, there's no fame, there's infamy. And it's all, he says, there's no shamelessness. It's all, there's no shame, it's all shamelessness. So people are not concerned with whether they are shaming themselves so long as they've got some, somebody mentions them or knows them above and beyond their life. So people don't care if they don't have any talent or if they do things bad, so long as somebody notices them above and beyond their life. They don't care if they sound stupid. And here's the thing that's kind of the dead end for all of that. Those people have a shelf life that's really not very long. I mean, think about who were the people they were talking about. You remember the name of who were those two people, the blonde and the guy from The Thing?
What blonde and guy from The Thing?
They were. It was this woman and this guy, and they were on that Survivor, I think. And wasn't there a show called The Hills or something? I forget, man. You know, I completely forget.
Yeah, what about that one lady that was mongoloid?
What? Will you stop with that? Don't use that word.
No, I'm sorry, but I mean that one lady.
What one lady?
She had Downs or something.
Who?
The lady she sang.
Susan Boyle?
Yeah.
She didn't have Down syndrome. She didn't have that. She was a perfectly normal woman who'd had some developmental problem physically, I think, because of some prenatal condition, but I think she's totally fine. She's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah, what happened to her?
Well, you know something? That woman deserves a little bit of credit, man. She had a gorgeous voice. She had a beautiful voice. I think she cut an album, right?
Yeah, I think she did an album all the hits, you know, like
she did some disco hits.
No, she didn't do disco hits.
Yeah, she did.
No, she didn't.
Well, I thought, didn't she do like a K-Tel package?
Yeah, dude, she did Tie Another Ribbon on a Tree.
She didn't do Tie Another Ribbon on the Tree, and she didn't do disco hits. She did they were beautiful, musical things, right?
What?
I don't know, man. They were songs that you find in musicals, huh?
What's that? You mean like...
Yeah, like, what was the one that I saw I told you guys about? Phantom of the Opera?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, nobody... Who listens? Nobody goes that.
Oh, no, you're right, bud. Nobody goes to that. Phantom of the Opera was the biggest freaking hit. Everybody went to see it. It was all over the country.
But yeah, but I mean, it wasn't... What was it?
It was a play, man. It was a musical. So she was singing stuff, and she sang the song that she did on the...
America Got Talent.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't America. It's got Britain Got Talent.
Yeah, Britain Got Talent.
Not Britain Got Talent. Britain...
That's if Robert said it'd be Britain Got Talent. Shut up. Hey!
Kick some ass here.
Britain Got Talent with Robert Leonard.
Hey!
Now, tell him to shut up, man.
Bud, shut up.
Shut up, man.
I'm going to turn him loose, and he's going to beat your ass.
I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did, so shut up. Britain Got Talent. Anyway, it was Susan Boyle, okay? And now let's take a break after that fist fight. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com.
Truth.
What did I just say?
Got Talent. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. Got Talent.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Welcome back. And I want to just do a little bit of housekeeping, as we say. First of all, if you order $30 of merchandise or more at our shop at philhendryshow.com, we're giving away 2 shot glasses for every order of 30 or more. Now, that's not really a whole lot. I mean, one of our CDs is 20 bucks.
Yeah, you get them. Get a T-shirt and a CD.
Get a T-shirt and a CD, and you'll also get 2 free shot glasses. So we'll throw in 2 free shot glasses for every order of $30 or more at the Phil Hendry Show shop between now and midnight Sunday, Pacific Daylight Time. That's between now and midnight Sunday, Pacific Daylight Time. So that's going to be fun. We also would remind you that the Phil Hendry Show website will be featuring the play-by-play of the Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison of the Milwaukee Lions. They open up their preseason against the Utah Blazing Cavalry. Is that it, Robert?
Yeah, I like the Utah Flaming Cavalry.
Yeah, what is that? Is that a game? Well, I better not say.
Yeah, you better not say. All I know is it's called the Utah Flaming or Blazing Cavalry. And so that's their preseason game in Utah. Where are they playing the game at?
At the Beaver Dome.
The Beaver Dome? Where the hell is this thing, anyway?
I think it's like in Salt Lake City.
The Beaver Dome.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's on August the 19th. That is available with a BSP, and it'll be aired the audio only. It'll be a radio cast on WANG Radio, and that will be a radio cast on Phil TV and HD. So you'll figure it out. So that's coming up. Also, we have episode 27 of the Free Phil Hendry podcast that dropped on Monday. Episode 28 coming up on Thursday. So we recommend you download the living hell out of that at philhendryradio.com. Just go to the banner on our homepage at philhendryshow.com. That'll direct you to Phil Hendry Radio and download the living you-know-what out of that. So we have that going on. And just, a million things, man. If you're a backstage pass holder, we want you to vote on the best Bobby Dooley bit. So please do that by way of BSP email to our website. And then, last but not least, we're giving away one full free year of a backstage pass to our website. All you have to do is hashtag BSP at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. That is hashtag BSP at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. Or you can like our fan page at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. So,
that's it.
That's all the housekeeping that we've had to do here. Moving on with news. I don't want to talk about the milk.
No, you got to talk about it, man.
Yeah, you got to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about that Milwaukee thing. What the hell is there to talk about, huh?
But it's important.
It's important, huh? It's important. It's important. Let me tell you, the Milwaukee thing is straight up not hard to figure out. That's a bunch of scumbag, white supremacist, just the scum of the earth. This ain't got nothing to do with, is the guy crackers. And let me tell you something else. If you think I'm going to give my gun up when guys like that are walking around, forget it. I mean, you talk about a psycho. A guy like this guy in Colorado, a guy like this Loeffner guy in Arizona, some psychotic poor bastard. I mean, that's one reason to have a gun, and I understand. And these guys, if they take their medicine, maybe they aren't so messed up, and who knows? I don't know, okay? All I know is that these two guys, because they're psycho, is probably why they were captured. I mean it. A psychopath is the type of guy like this Page piece of garbage. These are the kind of guys that kill themselves because their egos won't allow them to be taken alive. Their egos, they want to have the last statement. You got to understand something, folks. When a psychopath kills himself, he doesn't see it as cowardice. He's making the final statement of, you will not have control over me. I choose my own exit. So it is far preferable in many ways. And I'm not saying that we want to kill people. I mean, it's better to have these people, I think, to, especially a psychopath, to put a guy like that to the humiliation of a trial. Because if you want to make a guy suffer, you take a psychopath and put him on trial. Now, yeah, he's going to try and control things. Ted Bundy did. Remember Ted Bundy's whole public relations stance? You know, oh, well, he tried to control things. He tried to make himself look good. Up to the bitter end, he had people conned. But at least you got him where you want him. You got him in the system. You're putting him on trial, and all his bull crap doesn't mean anything. But Bundy, up to the bitter end, he was given interviews. He had some poor, stupid clod believing that pornography is what made him do what he did. Some stupid guy, excuse me for saying this, but this guy was he represented some church that was anti-pornography, and so he went and he interviewed Bundy, and Bundy told this guy exactly what he wanted to hear. Oh, yeah, you know the reason why I did what's that? Well, it's because of pornography. So this guy went away thinking, aha, pornography is what makes the Ted Bundys of the world. No, it doesn't. So anyway, this guy Page, he probably wouldn't be taken alive. These guys, these psychopaths, they got too much ego to be put on display like an animal in a zoo. They want to choose their time and place. And if you can take these guys alive, all the better. That's why it's better to get one of these guys alive than it probably would be, you know, with all due respect, and forgive me for saying this, better than it would be like a Loeffner or this guy Holmes, because those guys are psycho, and they don't know what they're doing. It's hard for me to even, it's hard for me to want the death penalty for guys like that, and I'm generally pretty...
Dude, you don't think I killed people and everything?
I know he did. I understand that, and it's bad. And believe me when I tell you, the man needs to be punished. But if a guy's not in touch with reality because his brain is being just melted away, I don't know what the hell. What do you want me to say to you? These guys that respond to the Holmeses of the world, they ought to be responding that way to these guys like Page. This is the guy that ought to be held down in a yard someplace and shanked. If you want to talk about somebody that deserves the tortures of the damned. But he ain't around, you know.
That was uplifting.
Yeah, that was real uplifting. Thanks a lot, bud.
But you had to talk about it.
Yeah, sure. All right, we'll be back with something. Hey, here's something that's really cool. Jennifer Lopez is suing her chauffeur for $20 million. All right. The world famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. And we wonder why more celebrities don't have drivers, so says James Devaney, writing for, E-News? Okay. Jennifer Lopez has sued her former chauffeur for extortion and defamation, claiming Jacob Manoukian.
Is that the guy's real name?
Yes. Jacob, right there.
Jacob Manoukian. I don't know if you say that right.
Manoukian, man. I'm the professional announcer here. Jacob Manoukian.
Spell it.
Spell what?
Jacob.
H-A-K-O-B.
Bull crap, man.
Give me that. I don't have to prove myself to you. There, see? H-A-K-O-B. Jacob Manoukian. She's suing this guy for extortion and defamation, claiming that Jacob Manoukian threatened to blab disruptive and potentially damaging information about her unless she paid him $2.8 million, according to court documents obtained by E! News. She is seeking at least $20 million in damages. She has now been sued, or was sued, or this is also part of it, sued by her former chauffeur. The former Idol judge alleges that an attorney representing Manoukian, who sued Lopez, her manager Benny Medina, and Mark Anthony for breach of contract in April, demanded a $2.8 million payout, or else he would disclose sensitive and personal information that he had allegedly overheard while working for her. Oh, okay. So this is part of his lawsuit against her. He sued her probably for what?
I probably sued her for firing him.
Yeah, and then said, you know, you better pay me or I'm going to be telling people.
Probably about like having sex and everything in a limousine and everything.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, what do you think it is?
I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. The former Idol judge alleges that an attorney representing Manoukian demanded $2.8 million or else he would disclose sensitive and personal information that he'd allegedly overheard while working for her. Well, that is clearly a blackmail type statement. That's extortion, if that happened. And I don't know. That's the only information that we have there, you know. I don't know why it is I believe her, but I do.
Yeah, why is that, man? Why would you believe a working man?
I mean, look, man, think about this for just a second, okay?
Why would you believe a blue-collar guy?
Hold on for a minute and think about this for just 5 seconds, okay? I'm Jennifer Lopez. Well, I'm not, but let's say you're Jennifer Lopez. Aha! I'm going to sue you for $20 million. What are you suing me for, Miss Lopez? I was just your driver. Because you came to me asking for $2.8 million. Yeah, I'm asking you for $2.8 million in lost wages and in pain and suffering and all that jazz because you fired me. No. Your lawyer said that you were going to divulge sensitive and personal information. Now it becomes, did the lawyer say that? Personal and sensitive information. Was that said? And I got to tell you something. Where do you come off? First of all, a chauffeur? Is he going to cough up $20 million? What do I want to sue a chauffeur for?
Well, I mean, get some money.
A chauffeur? I'm going to get $20 million out of a chauffeur? What is Jennifer Lopez suing a chauffeur for $20 million? Unless she knows that maybe, does the guy got deep pockets? He's got $20 million. Why would you take the time to sue your chauffeur? Why would you do that? You know?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, unless there's something personal. Unless it's a personal thing, like did they have a personal relationship? Did he promise her something? I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that that's the case, but why would you turn around? He claims that she fired him. He claims that she fired him or otherwise let him go in an unfair manner, and she is now suing, and so he wanted $2.8 million in a payout. He wanted $2.8 million after being let go. She says he demanded that $2.8 million on the other end of a statement having to do with sensitive and personal information would be released. I imagine, and I don't have any information, imagine his lawyer saying, we want $2.8 million because that's what his services, that's what you owe him for his services, plain and simple. Now, that's easy enough to prove or disprove. Okay.
Yeah, well, she can say, she doesn't want to pay the $2.8 million. And so she said that guy tried to say some stuff.
Is it because she can't afford it or what? you know.
Well, I mean,
maybe she doesn't like the idea of having to pay this guy $2.8 billion.
Well, a billion?
No, I mean million. Maybe she doesn't like the idea of having to pay the guy any more than she thinks she owes him. Maybe she owes him a lot less than that. And this guy's coming up with the $2.8 million, and he's saying, unless you cough that up, thus and so.
Well, I mean, I don't know what you mean. You made it up.
But I'm asking you to think logically about this. Is she going to sue her chauffeur for $20 million? How's she going to get $20 million? Is this guy got deep pockets? Is he some heir? Is he some guy with all kinds of... What is she suing this guy for $20 million for? I mean, unless it's some really... Well, she wants to destroy the guy, unless she hates him. She fired him. She fired him. He's come back with a $2.8 million... he wants $2.8 million, so that was his suit against her, and she countersued for $20 million saying he blackmailed her. Up to that point, she had just simply fired him. So he escalated with this $2.8 million.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that if she unfairly fired him and if he has a grievance that the law, a civil court, will recognize, saying, you know, Your Honor, she fired me unfairly, and I will prove my case, and she owes me $2.8 million. Now, what's that about? I don't know. She turns around and counters with a claim that he tried to extort or blackmail her, and she's suing for $20 million. To me, I'm sorry, it doesn't sound like anything that she made up. It sounds like the guy took a shot.
I don't think you can say that. He probably got screwed over by her, the fat ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, because she's got a fat ass. That's...
Yeah.
All right, a new study by Cornell University.
What about that?
We're done, bud. We're not going to talk about it.
You know, I'm open up the phone line for a discussion.
No, I don't want to open up the phone lines for a discussion. I'm moving on to something else, if you don't mind.
I just think it's unfair that you don't give him a benefit of a doubt. If she give him a benefit of a doubt, but you not even give him a benefit of a doubt.
Is that English that you just spoke? I'd just like to know.
No, you don't understand. If you don't give her the benefit of a doubt, yeah. Why wouldn't you give her the benefit of a doubt? That's what I'm trying to say.
Time for an iron swine, for that concern.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We didn't have an iron swine.
Shut up.
Time for iron swine. Iron swine gonna go and find out where fat ass, you know, she's suing a chauffeur. One day, iron swine in his office.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Hello?
Yeah, iron swine. I'm a chauffeur for Jennifer Lopez, and she fired me.
I'll be right there. Iron swine, what happened?
She fired me.
Well, you should get $2.8 million.
Yeah, that's why I think I'm going to go to talk to her now.
And then he goes over to talk to Jennifer Lopez.
Hey, Jennifer Lopez, open up the phone. Open up the door.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, you owe me money.
Oh, I don't want to pay you no money. I'm going to sue you for $20 billion.
No, you're $20 million?
$20 million. I'm going to sue you for $20
million. Yeah? All right, Iron Swine is here.
Hey, Jennifer Lopez, you fat ass. You're nothing but a fat ass.
Ow!
Thank you, Iron Swine. What did you do to her?
Hold on. Iron Swine. Yay. Iron Swine kicked her ass.
Oh, okay, so you hit a woman, huh?
No. I didn't really hit her. Iron Swine didn't hit her. She's just a fat ass.
She's just a fat ass, and so you just Jesus. That's the most disappointing Iron Swine I've ever heard.
Iron Swine, brought to you by...
Brought to you by Cheetos.
Yeah.
And
brought to you by Barks Root Beer.
Yeah, Barks Root Beer. I love eating Cheetos and Barks Root Beer. Okay, great. Thank you very much, Iron Swine.
Iron Swine.
So you beat up a woman, huh?
No.
Yes, you did. You went to Jennifer Lopez's house and you smacked her.
Well, you gotta find a way to... How are you gonna deal with her? Yeah, she's the arch... She's like the Joker or something.
She's the Joker, so you call her Fat Ass, that's her new name?
Yeah.
And you beat up a woman?
No, I didn't. I mean, we didn't mean we'd not beat her up. All we did was slap her.
Oh, is that what you got to do to defeat Fat Ass? You just slap her? God, Iron Swine, I am very disappointed.
We didn't beat up no woman. We had to finish the bit.
I didn't even know you were going to do a bit. You'll notice how I let you do it? I let you go ahead and do Iron Swine. And you come up with a weak-ass ending like that.
Woo! No, it was bitching.
Woo! Boy, did that one smell.
Man, you'd try to do better if it was you.
I could do a lot better than that. A lot better than that.
Yeah, go ahead, do it.
Oh, you want me to try, huh?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's my Iron Swine. And now it's time for Iron Swine as we go to Iron Swine's office.
Wait a minute. Are you going to be...
Let me do it, okay. Hi, are you Iron Swine?
Yes, I'm Iron Swine.
Well, Jennifer Lopez ripped me off and owes me money.
Yeah, really? Is that right?
Yeah. Well, guess what? Maybe you ought to be owed money, because it looks to me like you did a crap can job as her driver.
Well, I mean, I was late a few...
Yeah, you were late? Get out of here, you slob. I only represent guys that work for a living. There, that's the end of Iron Swine. Thank you.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not. That's my view of it.
Now, Iron Swine would take that job.
No, he wouldn't. Iron Swine would kick her... What do you mean, Iron Swine, anyway? Iron Swine would have kicked that guy out the door and would have said, how dare you try to extort money from that lovely lady with her round ass.
No, she's fat ass.
Fine. That's where you and I just have a difference of opinion, bud. But that's what I would have done. And that Iron Swine episode would have been over in 5 seconds. We could have moved on to another Iron Swine. All right.
Would you put your glasses away and stuff, man, like you're getting ready to leave?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Take a break. Our final segment coming up, 877-876-7445. This is our news and information hour. What else have we got left, man? We have, gay or straight, eyes reveal sexual orientation. Look out. That's up next here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, started yesterday. We're giving away 2 free shot glasses with every order of $30 or more in our shop. So if you go over and get some CDs, you get T-shirts, get hats, you get our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, you get a coffee mug, the Bobby Dooley keychain. There's stuff there that you can pick up for a song, baby, and also get 2 free shot glasses from PhilHenryShow.com. And these are our Phil. As a matter of fact, I should have a. You think we had to do a tequila drinking night?
Yeah, probably I'd do tequila on a Saturday night.
I think you're right, man. I think you're right.
Man, that'd be radical.
What happened to you?
God, man, what's up with you?
Nothing. I just thought it'd be radical.
You're all like, that'd be radical.
Well, my voice cracked.
Yeah, man, what are you coming into puberty?
Puberty? Ha ha ha. You said it wrong.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did, you big dumb.
Hey! You did say it wrong, Robert.
All right, what's...
Puberty.
Yeah, pew. Like how you smell.
Hey! We're on the air, right?
Yeah, I know.
Hey, we're on the air, right?
Yeah.
And if we're on the air and you jump him and I got to break a fight up, one of these days, I'm going to just come in here with mace and I'm going to separate you two like you're a couple of wild animals, okay?
Man,
I'm going to separate the two of you with a can of mace, like you're a couple of dogs. You want that?
No.
Next time you guys jump each other while the on-air light is on.
There ain't no on-air light.
Well, I'm just pretending like there's one.
How are we supposed to know?
Don't give me that bull crap how you're supposed. You know when we're on the air. I'm going to start some things that you'll be sorry I started. And I will also finish them. Just a word to the wise. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Oh, we had the story here, and I don't know, because of the fist fight that almost broke out between these two imbeciles, I don't know whether I have the story or not, but this is a thing on gay, and this was sent to me by one of our listeners. The eyes. Can you tell whether someone is gay or straight? Well, now there is new scientific so-called, let's just say there's a study. And it's from Cornell University. So, I say that with a kind of a hopeful, sort of a hopeful tone, not because it's necessarily true or untrue, but I might give it a little bit more credibility. It's not from Great Britain. Every time we get some study from Great Britain out of the University of Suffolk on Tyne, or whatever the hell they got over there, it's always some screwy thing. This is an American university. Who knows? It might have a little bit more credibility. There may be more credulity that you will feel. A new study by Cornell University scientists says a person's eyes will tell if a person is gay, straight, or somewhere else on the sexual spectrum. Somewhere else, huh? What are you looking at, bud?
I'm looking in your eyes.
There, you see him good, man?
Yeah, you're gay.
Get out of here. In any event, somewhere else in a... Now, pupil dilation has long been known to indicate excitement, such as when seeing a loved one's face, a puppy dog, or a beautiful piece of art. The same reaction also occurs when sexually aroused, suggesting that eyes can indicate sexual orientation.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought there was something having to do with this is more of a psychological, the way the body reacts to the emotions, telling whether someone is gay or straight. Study author Rich Savin Williams, a developmental psychologist at Cornell, tells Live Science that pupils open up in an unconscious reaction to erotic images that can be used to study sexual orientation without invasive genital measurements.
What?
Yeah, they're talking about like gay guys got a big one.
All right. Pupil dilation. Pupil dilation, he says, is a sign that the... What are you talking about? He's talking about arousal. Gay guy's got a big one.
That's what I heard.
Pupil dilation, he says, is a sign that the autonomic nervous system, which controls involuntary actions like pulse and breathing, is ramping up. To conduct the study, Savin Williams and his Cornell colleague, Jeriff Reiger, recruited 165 men and 160 women, including gay, straight, and bisexual participants. There you go. So they're basically talking about an autonomic reaction. So it's not even emotion, because that's something that you can control. When they talk about the autonomic system...
What's that mean, autonomic?
Autonomic is a part of the nervous system that you don't have to think about. It works. It's a part of the messaging system of our nervous system, that we don't have to think about. I think about lifting my arm up and down if...
Yeah, you just made the...
Shut up. Up and down if I'm drinking a cup of coffee, not what you're thinking. That's something that's conscious. Autonomic is breathing. Do you guys think when you breathe?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You don't have to think.
Well, one time I forgot to breathe. I swear to God, I panicked.
Yeah, that happened to me too.
No, you guys are right. You're faking yourselves out.
No. One time I went, oh, how am I breathing? And I'm going like, oh, I forgot to breathe. And I got all scared.
Yeah, I did too.
That's because you two guys are idiots. And you get freaked out by stupid stuff.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean you got to think to breathe? Nobody has to think to breathe.
I swear to God, I got scared one time.
Yeah, because you're sitting there going, oh, wow, I forgot to breathe. You don't have to think to breathe. I guarantee that this entire show, you two numbskulls have been talking about a million different things, and not once did you think about breathing.
Maybe I did.
No, you didn't. Breathing, you don't think about. Breathing is part of the autonomic nervous system. That's the most obvious example. There are others. Digestion. The digestive system. This is a message from the brain to the stomach that things have to happen. Now, man, we're sending food down there, okay? Stomach just doesn't digest on its own. It has to get an instruction. And that's the autonomic nervous system, okay? So when we talk about the obvious conscious things that we have to think to do, like walking, like moving our arms, like, you know, a lot of behavior, that's not it. So if you're looking at someone and you're not even having to decide, am I attracted or am I not, you are automatically either attracted or not attracted. They feel they can see that in the pupil dilation.
So if you're attracted to a guy, your eye's going to go all, ooh, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's right, bud. It's going to go, ooh.
Well, you know.
I mean, yeah.
You two guys, just be quiet. Yes, your eyes are going to dilate or you know, they will react. And that's something that you're not thinking about. You just see, if you see a hot girl, you see a hot guy, whichever your persuasion, you know, whatever your orientation, you react. And so what they're trying to do, what scientists are using, this particular method is, well, let's try autonomic responses. And when they say invasive genital measurements, they're talking about arousal, not the size of a gay guy's as opposed to a straight guy's.
Yeah, but Robert's right.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that story, too. All right, so we'll see where that goes. Probably nowhere, you know, just like anything. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. Go online at philhenryshow.com and enjoy our enjoy Backstage Pass to our website. And you can enjoy thousands and thousands of hours of fantastic radio, baby. All for the price of that backstage pass. And don't forget, we're giving away a couple of free shot glasses for every order of $30 or more from the Phil Hendry Show shop, man. Two free Phil Hendry Show shot glasses. These babies are beautiful, too, so you got to get one. We'll do a tequila drinking night on Phil TV in HD next Saturday night, I promise you. Until tonight at 10, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.